It's the Daily Talk Show, and it is Monday, and it's episode 25.
Tommy, yeah.
We're quarter, in Sydney.
Quarter of a half of a century.
It's exciting.
Is yeah, that we are in Sydney. We're
I've got that fucking Singapore number calling, you know, when the all these scams that have been happening.
I got a weird one. Let me just have a quick look. It was like New Guinea. Uh-huh. It was the Guinea. G-U-I-N-E-A. Is that new part of Guinea?
Different,
new Guinea?
I think.
Anyway, it's a random number.
Yeah, well, I just had my watch vibrating. I've missed a call from +65 6876 7913.
Do they get anyone? Scammers?
Yeah. Of course they would.
It's a numbers game, right? They're just going hard.
And they've been going really hard. This scam seems to be pretty prevalent.
It's definitely... I think I would have done that on radio. Have you been scammed? Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone that's been scammed?
Nah, other than my pill story.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like you were just buying a product. I mean, like totally fleeced of cash. Like,
I don't have any
money.
Cash to be fleeced. Nah, I don't think. Just buying shit that I don't need, maybe.
Poor old people.
Yeah,
that's who they prey on. Yeah,
it's
just
annoying.
Like, can you open up
windows?
Oh, who was it? Was that you? No, it was Kel, my mate Kel Wolf, who I lived with in Shepparton.
Yeah.
He fucking pulled the wool over these dickheads' eyes that called him, and they were like, oh, sir, can you please, we're calling from Telstra, can you please open up your browser because we need to access it to help you fix your internet? And he knew exactly what was going on, and he led them on for ages, and he was saying, sir, have you opened the browser? And he says, yeah, can you type in this address? Okay, have you typed it in? Yeah, I've typed it in. I can't see anything. And they're saying, because they obviously can see as soon as you access it.
Yeah.
And they kept on going, oh, have you done it? Said, yeah, I'm here. What do you mean? There's nothing here. And then they got their bloody supervisor. Anyway, they ended up working out that he was fucking with them.
So
and they
funny.
Said, fuck you, and hung up.
Wow. I used to love fucking around with the telemarketers, seeing how long I could.
Do you hang up on them? My wife, and I saw her do it last week, she answered and they said hello and then she hung up. And she was always really like, oh, yeah, it's a bit offensive. Because I would just like answer, hear them, hang up. Or I'd say, sorry, not interested, and hang up.
I think that's fine. It's annoying when they try and pretend like they're not like they're not doing sales calls. But Tommy, this is our very first interstate episode.
Oh, yeah. It's on the road, baby.
This is exciting.
We're in the Abyss, Ibis.
Ibis, Darling Harbour.
That's not a plug for Ibis, Darling Harbour.
It's a, we've got a two bed setup.
Yeah.
And I joke that it's I was saying to my client, we're up here filming something and we just got Tommy on board for a day. I didn't even tell the client. And just before we were getting to the hotel, I said, now look, I've got Tommy helping out on day one, and just explain that it wasn't like the movie Battle of the Sexes where she has her hairdresser following around.
Can I just tell you the most awkward story, right? Because if I knew that you'd only just told her then, I probably would have felt a bit awkward, but I got through it. And I just, because the girl was very jokey with it.
So
and I felt like it was like
you got
rapport.
Worried.
No, I felt rapport that the joke was there. So I was like, oh, the hairdresser. And I was like, you'd obviously talked while ago. But I flew up to Sydney. This was when I was 18. Flew up to Sydney with a mate. And we were going to stay. He said, my mate's got this amazing place in Double Bay.
Oh, fuck.
It's like fucking $9 million house on the water. He's got a boat that on a private jetty. We'll go out, you know, he's invited us up. Sweet. Got there. He hadn't told the dude
that his mate was
coming along.
That used to happen to me as a kid all the time with our pool. Like, people would just fucking rock up and they'd have three other mates who I didn't even know.
That's a classic pool thing to do.
I fucking hate that. And they don't even bring towels and shit. That would piss mum off.
Your mum would have hated
that. Mum wouldn't. Mum has a pool now. And still does a bit of the fucking towel chat. It's like, oh, well, just bring your towels.
Oh, I felt so awkward in that situation. I was like, and I was young and I didn't feel confident enough to say, whoa, hang on, guys, did you not know I was coming? You know, it's like, yeah, so I feel just, like now I'd speak up.
And what did you do in the moment? Just fucking like acted like a dickhead? Like you probably...
Well, I knew there was a chance of going out in Sydney Harbour on a private yacht, so I fucking hung in there and got the yacht ride.
And what was the vibe like?
He was really nice, really lovely. We all went out for dinners and it was great.
Can you remember the... When did you find
out? Front door.
No. So you've gone on a flight.
All the way there. Got to the front door of this dude's house.
What was your... What's your mate's deal?
Loose cannon.
Fucking hell. That Seriously. Stuff is not ideal, is
it's,
it?
It's gross. All right. There's something I want to bring up.
Yeah.
You know who Raymar is?
Raymar, is he the Flamin dude?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to bring up his new chili sauce?
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm going to bring up Raymar, otherwise known as Alf Stewart from Home and Away. If you grew up in Australia and you're sort of between the ages of 23 up, you'd know about fucking Home and Away and Raymar.
Fucking, I love, what's his Alf Stewart?
Alf Stewart. He was like just a lunatic.
Flaming Crows.
He owned the, what did he own? The fucking fishing shop or something?
Yeah,
the
something like
tackle
that.
Tackle shop. And he was mad. Or the diner, some bullshit.
Big watcher.
Never turned a profit, but somehow kept running. anyway, he was a real hothead, right? If you haven't watched, I'm sure you have. Anyway, he's got a new hot sauce. And so I just saw the Instagram. It must have been a sponsored post. And I clicked onto it and I was like, get the fuck out of here. Raymar's got his own hot sauce and it's called Flamin'.
It's taken him so long to do this. I wonder if Home and Away produced...
Oh, you don't know. So this is going somewhere.
Oh, great.
So this, like, you know me, I fucking start getting into all this shit. I investigate. Like you, I'm becoming a bit more like you in terms of like... So I was impressed at the start, thinking, fuck, is this a good idea, dude? Starting a product using Flamin', the Home and Away.
It's very clever.
Branded.
So that was the first thing I thought was, oh, I wonder, like, because it's his character, right?
Yeah.
And so I was wondering, do they have, like, trademark use?
I hadn't thought
like
that. About that. That's a good way to go down. So I've just seen on their Instagram, it's called Ray's Flamin' Hot Sauce. They've had 14 posts. Almost at 4K followers.
Yeah.
And this is the description. Raymar's Flamin' Hot Sauce, public figure. And it's got a whole bunch of little chilies. Reckon you can handle the flamin' heat? ? Grab a bottle of my limited edition hot sauce. # Ray's Flamin' Hot Sauce. And then it has the website address, raysflaminhotsauce.com.au.
Okay, yeah.
Never clicked on it.
Uh-huh.
Just kept seeing the posts come in. It's like one of them's like, it's coming. There's a video, like, listen to him.
That's what I call my new hot chili sauce. Here's a tip. It's not chili McChill face.
Yeah, I did. Like, I watched this video and he's dancing in it and shit. He's like, full sellout.
It's so daggy. Fucking full sellout. Wait for the punchline.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Just saw his last fucking post. Listen to this. Hang on. And it's just
small businesses don't have a website. To prove how easy it is, I've started raysflaminhotsauce.com.au. I'm not the most tech-savvy bloke.
Ah.
But with GoDaddy, building a website's really simple.
Fuck off.
Now my hot sauce is selling like hot cakes. So come on, Australia. Time to get yourself a website with GoDaddy and get your
business
online.
It's a fucking GoDaddy. It's a whole...
Flamin' easy.
It's a whole GoDaddy campaign.
It's a fucking GoDaddy piece of content.
Good on him.
I went on to Ray's Flamin' Hot Sauce. As soon as I saw that, I was so pissed off.
Can you still buy the hot sauce? They
so
would.
Look, yeah. I've just clicked onto the website. Takes you to GoDaddy's website. Fuck. So it's not even routed to his website. And so you just look on that. I literally just, and I only just before doing this, clicked onto this and actually had a thorough look because I jumped on. I was so pissed off that I'd been taken to GoDaddy.
Yeah.
From this fucking...
Clever fucking marketing.
Clever, moved but away. It's not fucking honest.
Yeah.
And we talk about this around honest content
yeah.
and how, like, the only reason I'm talking about this and I'm annoyed about this is because I feel like I was led on for this funny
but do you know
idea.
Who I think you should be annoyed at is
who?
Fucking Ray or whatever his name is.
Raymar. That he sold out. He did sell
well, yeah,
out.
Ray's like, he's the one that's fucking said it was okay.
Yeah. And so I did click onto it. Now you can, and it's all about try website builder for free. Build a website in under an hour. It's flaming easy. You don't have to be a tech savvy to build a website with GoDaddy. It's flaming easy.
So it's all about like them localizing this type of content. I think it's very clever.
Actor and entrepreneur Ray Maher has turned his famous catchphrase into the best flaming hot sauce around. And he couldn't believe that 60% of Aussie small businesses don't have a website. So he got a hot site of his own.
And now you're fucking just plugging him. This is our first sponsored. Are you actually sponsored by GoDaddy?
Imagine the inception if yeah, I was a sponsor. If you were
I was saying to Tommy, I think our first sponsor I want to be is either Woolworths or Coles, and all I want them to sponsor us with is like a contra deal where they give us fizzy water.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what, 75 cents each cheap. Or whatever. If we could have like two bottles per app,
yeah,
we'll be burping a lot.
Yeah, I love fizzy water.
And anyway, you drink all of it, and Brie always picks you up on it.
You're going off track. A bottle, so you can actually click on a button on the on this shitty website that they take you to, and it takes you to another website that actually is Ray's Flamin' Hot Sauce, and you can buy a bottle. They're $12.
We get it,
and you get it, but is it detrimental to do a marketing campaign? And I know you're not Will Anderson from Gruen Transfer to give us a fucking insight.
I mean, Will was more just the host.
Yeah, but you're a host.
I'm more like your Russell
Howcroft. Yeah, you are.
Or whatever.
You are a bit Russell Howcroft. No, I'm not.
Sampson. I'll take Todd Sampson.
Because I feel like you get a bit hurt by some of these dumb marketing campaigns.
No, I think... what do I think?
Well, we spend most of our day... during the week, thinking about how to approach marketing from a content perspective, a video creation perspective with our own businesses.
Yeah.
And so this campaign would have been sold in from the creative director or agency that's like, you know, this is a great idea. Like, I think it's a great idea him doing the product.
Yeah.
But then it just, I think, misses the beat when they attach website building GoDaddy to it. That it just had a bit too much impact with the idea of the flaming hot sauce to then kick you in the dick when you go through and you feel just conned.
Well, I think you just have to also look at the DNA of businesses. GoDaddy specifically are known for smutty advertising.
What's something else?
They are the sort of the booth girls of TVCs. So, for instance... their Super Bowl commercials would have women in bikinis and things that.
So they're like the Dodo internet ads of... Yeah. Remember those, Dodo internet?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Dodo's the girls running through...
Oh, I do remember now. Exactly.
I know the girl, Kylie. What's up, Kylie, if you're listening? She was one of the Dodo girls 10 years ago.
That's cool. Do you know what one of my favourite, if we can talk, nostalgia alert, I haven't done that in a while, the ad that I think of a bit, which is sort of had that cut through, was, do you remember Virgin Mobile's ad?
Nah, what was it?
Wiggity Wiggity Warrenator, remember it was the guy, he was sort of, no, you don't remember that? If you remember, can you please reach out to us, at thedailytalkshow.com. Talking about people that we know and talking about Home and Away.
Yeah.
I got a FaceTime from Izza, an old friend of mine who...
From Berwick days, where you grew up?
No, so from... We did a filmmaking course together in 2004 at Open Channel, which is like Independent Filmmakers Victoria.
Yeah.
And we both had each other on MSN afterwards and would... stay in contact, and then we did a VCA course in 2006 together called Teen Flicks, and she ended up going on to being a big Home and Away star. She's on Home and Away, and she FaceTimed me the other day, and
she was with fucking Ray Ma. I'm pissed off.
No, so it has been since I had seen her. It would have been probably 2006.
Mistake FaceTime.
Yeah.
Would you answer?
If you got a FaceTime for someone you hadn't seen in, what, like 12 years?
I don't know. I actually couldn't give you a straight answer because it's one of the things. Sometimes, like, if I was feeling a bit off and I'd just be like, that's weird. But sometimes I'd be like, take a breath and just like, what's this going to be?
Yeah, well, I thought that because initially I was like, you know what, maybe given she's in the entertainment industry and I've got a bunch of friends who are in similar circles, I'm like, maybe she's in a room with one of them and they've just connected that they know.
Yeah, that's what I'd probably think.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, they're doing a big FaceTime. So I was going to answer, but at the moment I was like, you know what, I'm not going to. So I sent her a text and said, hey, sorry, I missed your FaceTime. I was just wanting to know if it was a butt dial or if you wanted to chat.
Did you actually say that?
Yeah, something like I can find the exact. Did you want me to find the exact? I can.
But it sounds a very Josh Jansen message.
It was something like that. But the
business at the front.
Yeah, no, I'm actually going to bring it up. So I did get a response from her.
Yeah,
and it was. So here we go, yeah. Isabel.
So what's her name? Isabel.
Isabella. I called her Iza. Isabella Giovinazzo. Yeah, you can look her up. Anyway, so this is what I wrote to her. I said, Iza, was this a FaceTime butt dial or just a random FaceTime hangout for a Saturday? Either way, hope you're doing great.
Fuck, that was way worse than what you told us.
Really? Why?
I feel like I've been conned again with... What you have?
What's why is that worse?
There was so much in it for what you told us was like brief. Oh, I messaged about like, hey, was that a butt dial or?
Okay, yeah. So I put a bit more energy into it. She wrote back 4 hours later. So great. How are you? What's going on, man? New message from her. Look, you know what I was trying to. Look, you know what I was trying to contact another Josh. But glad I called you. Hope you're well. Tell me, where are you? Where are you at these days? And I went on to say, I'm in Abbotsford, blah, 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 going on. What about you? And then didn't hear anything. Yeah, it just, when you were talking about home and away, it triggered this memory that happened to me last month.
Dude, I know her too.
Well, clearly not as well.
No. So I've hung out with her because she was married to that dude Ford, one of my best mates.
Oh, fuck off.
His brother.
Oh,
Charlie,
yeah,
Ford.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
And so I went to high school with Charlie.
Oh, fuck.
And so I don't...
They're no longer together, I don't think.
No, they're not longer together, yeah. But yeah, it has been revealed that Isabella married her filmmaker boyfriend Charlie Ford in Melbourne earlier this year, just after...
Have you caught up with Charlie, given he does filmmaking stuff?
I don't know if he's back in Melbourne. He was living in Sydney.
Okay.
We're
in Sydney now.
We were mates in high school and shit. And because I was best mates with Ford, his bro, we'd hang out and stuff. But yeah, that's crazy. I was just looking at some videos that Charlie put up today. Fucking small world, dude.
It is that funny thing of like, it's a small world. I guess that home and away, Summer Bay is a small place.
Yeah. I went with her and Charlie.
Yeah.
And I was pissed when I met her and fucking we went to a house party with all these home and away.
Were you invited?
I was a plus one of Ford.
Fucking hell.
But
it wasn't Ford that took you on the boat with these rich mates.
No, it was not Ford. Okay. He wouldn't do something as dog as that. We'd both crash some boat party together. That's what we would have done as kids. But yeah, we went to a home and away party with all these home and away goons.
Oh, that's fun. Neighbours or Home and Away?
None of them, because it was like I watched Home and Away as a kid. And
Johnny Ruffo is on Home and Away. That's very sad.
I don't think he's anymore.
Well, did you hear what happened with him with the brain cancer and stuff?
Yeah.
The Instagram. What a fucked up thing to happen.
No, poor guy.
Just all of a sudden, one day, have your fucking skull open. Do you ever worry about big shit like that? Do you ever get a migraine and be like, maybe it's something fucking bad. Mate,
it's like Google. Don't be a Google doctor. But then there's like times where you do end up looking and finding stuff out.
Yeah.
And going to the doctor and it's like, it's this.
I always had this fear, like I would feel my neck and I'd like feel like a little lump and freak out. I think it's like my fucking, I think everyone has it.
Yeah, you've got
it's like a gland or something.
Gland, but no, I definitely have at times. But it's fuck, it's a hard world to live in if you're just constantly thinking about that. But you definitely, and we were talking about this earlier, I definitely now having a kid and married, think about I think about losing, like if I go, what then? It's like I feel the pain of my partner, right?
Yeah.
And the thought of Bodhi not growing up with me is fucking makes me feel like I want to cry right now. But it's like so full on, right? Uh-huh. And it's like I was not like that before at all. I wasn't emotional like that. Mm-hmm. But it's like what it does to you is full on.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
It's it feels like with everything that's happening in the world, it is very easy to go in those places. And just thinking about, like I was thinking about, I've had the classic people die in my life, right? The people who have, in all respects, are meant to die. The grandparents, right? The older people. But I haven't had my parents die. Yeah. I have, like, and just the thought of all of that just is very overwhelming.
Mm. It's surreal, right?
Yeah.
And I've had friends whose parents have passed away.
Mm.
And I can't imagine it. I can't imagine what it would be like. It's not reality until it's reality. Yeah. Your reality. The thought of bad stuff happening is not like the feeling of bad stuff happening. Even though, like, you might get close to the feeling. But it's like when someone thinks about someone.
It's even
worse. In some ways. Because you don't.
I think people have an ability to adapt.
Yeah.
But I think that the feeling is obviously one of complete overwhelm or not being able to cope.
It's like grief. Have you ever felt it? I haven't.
No.
Like severe grief.
And that's what you think about. And even news. You look at news and stuff and you see people dying in car accidents when they're young. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Oh man, it's full on. This is taking a time. It's slightly different tone. But I said this, and this was, I said this to Richard. You know Richard from The Office. So like, where I've got my office, there's a bunch of really close mates all around me with businesses, and stuff. And so I went in and I said this statement, and Richard's response. I'll tell you the statement in a second.
Okay.
Richard's response was, fuck, dude, how many lives have you lived? And the statement was, dude, I was like, guys, I just had this fucking epiphany. The closer you get to success, the closer you are
to dying.
To failure. Yes. And it's like, I don't even know if that's how I said it. I'll explain it, right?
Okay.
And I haven't told you this.
Okay, yeah, you haven't.
So I was going for the funding for... I've been working on doing this TV show with ITV and my production company, something I've worked really hard on. It's like an original concept of mine and it's a documentary series. That's just a brief background. But we were going for funding with Screen Australia.
Uh-huh. And so you're going to tell me something about that?
Yeah.
Because you've been...
I've totally forgot to tell you.
And I've been in the fucking loop. I was like day dot fucking helping you with this.
So I've been waiting to hear back. Did we get the funding
and you
with
got,
Screen Australia?
And you got the latest thing was an exciting letter from, can we say this? Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. ABC basically saying, hey, we can throw a bit of cash at this.
It was like, we're no interested. It's a letter of interest.
It's basically saying, hey, we're interested. If another organization like Screen Oz will put some funds behind it, we could make it work.
So it's like fucking closer to success than ever, right?
Yeah.
We didn't get the funding.
Okay.
So I hadn't told you that.
I sort of semi... Well, when you started telling me this story, reminded me that you... started talking about crowdfunding earlier and then it all came together. Because it's so funny that in the moment I wasn't like, what about your big fucking dealio? So what did they say?
Screen Australia don't give you much. They can't give you feedback at this time because they're going through so many ideas. That's what they say. I got this email.
So it was ITV like, sorry, man, it's all over.
No, no, no.
they're still going to keep on going.
They're looking at stuff. So the dudes I'm dealing with haven't been around. They're overseas. So yeah. Anyway, my thought around it was like, fuck. I've literally, the closer you get to having the success, you're actually getting closer to failure than before. Yeah. Because when you haven't started, you can't really be failing. You haven't really failed.
Yeah.
You haven't done shit.
Well, you've got nothing to lose until you build something.
And so this has been like a 6, 7, 8 month process. And it's like I've been getting closer and closer and closer. And it's like the failure is getting closer and closer and closer. Yeah. And there's no difference. It's like it could just win or it might not. Yeah. But it's like you're getting closer to knowing your fate, essentially. And it's so like that was kind of what I... Yeah.
If you think about a race, if you think about doing a 400 meters, so you've got people who won't feel that failure because they won't even get on the track and practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus the person who is at the Olympics and fucks themselves, you know?
Yeah. And so I was in this really reflective mood after it. I was just fucking talking to the boys, told them about it.
What do you mean, the boys? I am one of the boys.
Yeah, you just weren't around.
When was it?
Late last week.
It was late last week and we would have had a podcast.
No, because I wanted to actually bring this up. Because okay, I like talking to you about this kind of shit. And yeah. It's like, and I was just thinking about the success. And it's like, it's such a fucking, like, of course the closer you get, the guy with the big business, he could lose everything. Yeah. And he's losing more than everybody, the billionaire.
More money, more problems.
But it's like, you can hear that, but it's like, I fucking felt that. And I was like, it made me feel a bit fucking scared, right? And it's like, more success I get, the more failure is just ready to rip my dick off.
Yeah, fucking hell. How do you mitigate these things, do you think?
So prevent it from happening?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can.
Or not prevent it, but how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it emotionally?
Yeah. Get real deep, fucking Eckhart Tolle on this shit, start reflecting. But no, I did. I felt a bit shit. But then a couple of things, I was like, fuck, this is the being picked, waiting for someone to tell you the good news that you got the funding.
Yeah.
And I felt a bit like that. Then I was like, oh, fuck, it's like, couldn't I go out and do this my own? Like, I start fucking going down that rabbit hole of like, next option, next option, next option, what else, what else, what else? Which maybe it's not the right response.
Yeah, maybe it's not the thing you need to do right now.
Yeah.
Seth Godin, he always talks about being picked specifically in his book Poke the Box, but he actually has a new podcast out.
Oh, how is it? Akimbo?
Fucking awesome. Akimbo.
I referred it to somebody with the recommendation from you to me. I passed it on to them. Okay. Dude, Seth Godin's got a new podcast out.
It's fucking great. Yeah, Akimbo, and he talks about it's just like a monologue, him talking. It's almost like a free audiobook. It's great.
That's sick.
And he talks about being picked. It's a very, very good...
In Akimbo?
Yeah.
And is so he talking about what Akimbo means?
Yeah.
A-K-I-M-B-O.
Yeah, it's something around like being... He's been a fucking quirky cunt about it. He's like saying like, oh, yeah, it's Akimbo. It's weird. And yeah. I'm weird. I'm sad.
You know what I mean? He knows we'd be talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's just fucking weird
unit. It is true.
He's such a weird unit. I would like to be him when I'm older. Like that sort of style.
Seth
right?
Godin on our podcast.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That's your mission.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's That's do it. Your fucking mission. Yes. So back in, I can't remember what episode, maybe 10 ago, I said, I'm going to set you a challenge. And I'm going to think about who I want you to get on the podcast because you're a crafty motherfucker. You find people's details and you've been sending... You sent Gary V, who is one of the biggest entrepreneurs in the world today, an email 12 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Like yeah. It was like fucking 8 years ago.
But he was a nobody then. Yeah. Like he had a bit of money.
Not as many people knew him. I mean, the thing is that all these things expand. It's super interesting, isn't it? How...
So Seth Godin.
Seth Godin. Because you've been on email. I've emailed him a bunch and he's emailed me back. I was looking at... He's got a program.
Where's he lived?
He lives... it's called like off the Hudson River.
In New York City.
Yeah.
Do you want to fly over? That could be our thing.
That could be fun.
We'll just fly... We'll just...
So, you know, Quadlock.
Yeah.
The phone my case. Mates, yeah, Robbie Ward and CP.
If I had a radio show
yeah.
and I had the desk with all the sound effects loaded, I'd have the Quadlock click in ready to go.
They actually, here's another fun
Wait,
fact.
Stay on track. Yeah. What about, is this
is about the guys. This would have been 2012. They won a Shopify award, Shopify Small Business Award.
Oh, sick.
And they were flown to New York City and they hung out with Seth Godin.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I wonder, I should chat to them and see what it was like. I tried.
This
to
is
get,
the thing, you're gathering the, intel.
To be clear, I tried to get Seth Godin on my podcast back in 2013 on my Josh Speaking podcast yeah. because... I'd actually just quit the radio station and I sent him a message saying, hey, I actually quit my my job
because
while listening
you.
To your listening to your audiobook,
yeah.
The Icarus Deception, which is a great book.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good one.
It's because it's a challenge, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't go on everyone's.
No, he's pretty
charges
pretty
a lot
selective.
Of money to do talks, but I think that's a really good one.
I think it is because he'd be very interesting. He's the
he'd
one.
He'd be proud of this episode, I reckon.
Yeah, hopefully.
Actually, he'd probably think we're a bunch of dicks.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I did say he was a quirky cunt, didn't I? Which is
but
probably
he is,
a,
he and, is. He's
and I
so
think he would be
unique.
Fucking
it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be all for it. I'm just looking at all the
emails
that I've sent. Do you know, can I read you? This is going to fucking embarrass me, but I'll do it anyway because, you know, I love an embarrassment.
Yeah, you don't need to put on a voice because you are Josh Jansen,
okay,
right?
So this was when I sent the email for him to be on my podcast. It was on the 6th of the 2nd, 2013.
At what time?
Okay, good question.
I mean, not that it matters.
At 11 p.m.
Which would have been like morning over in America probably.
Yeah, probably.
Did you think about that?
No.
Anyway, go.
Seth. I didn't even say, hey, Seth. See, fuck, I'm being real.
Serious motherfucker. Yeah.
Seth, your book, you'll love the subject line. No longer a cog in the machine.
He talks a lot about being, don't be a cog.
Seth, your book, Icarus Deception, gave me the confidence to no longer be the cog in the machine and gave me permission in my mind to quit my job and no longer be defined by my role in big media company in Australia, in a big media company. I'm not full numpty.
Trash.
I am in the US in June and July, traveling around LA, San Francisco, New York City. I have begun to ramp up my love project, Josh Speaking, a podcast where I interview interesting people to deconstruct their success. Keeping in mind... this fucking podcast is prior to Tim Ferriss's stuff. Deconstruct it. It's very fucking sick. Like, you think about what he talks about with his language. He's basically got the same sort of podcast as what I had, but fucking built it up to
he
be big.
He also has written four best-selling
which which I reckon, if you look at his books, was all about deconstructing people's success. So I sort of like borrowed from his book thing. Anyway, I said...
you're not Tim Ferriss, mate.
I would love to interview you. I know you are extremely busy. However, I just thought I would ask the question. It would be 45 to 60 minutes at the location, time of your choice. I'm in New York City from June 23 to July 2nd. Thanks for inspiring me. Seth's response. Thanks, Josh, and congratulations. I won't be able to do the interview, but I wish you the best. Seth Godin.
Well, it's good that you got a response.
It's a pretty... And then so I went all needy and just...
Oh, no.
I said, I won't read the fucking response.
Oh, no.
No, I just said, thanks so much for the response, Seth. I'm torn as I respect you a lot and don't want to be annoying, but is it a timing
You're
thing
annoying.
Or just a blanket rule? I've interviewed some great people in Australia and would love the opportunity to interview you, Josh, sent from my iPhone.
I know.
Didn't get a response from that. But in saying that, many correspondents afterwards...
with the lawyers about stop
no, he was really nice. No, he was super nice. He
nah, that's all.
Yeah, it was. And I actually,
I think what you did with that email is you took his books and wrote an email to him that he thought he'd want to hear.
Yeah,
you thought he would want to hear based around his books, because a lot of that wording, cog, all that shit is
absolutely.
Like,
but
so
I also
think you could go the other way. I don't know. It's up to you.
Well, I'll the thing is, I think what I'd be able to use is him and I have actually gotten, I think, semi-close to working together in some capacity, where it was like, he does a program called the Alt MBA, and I talked to him about doing video stuff, and we had half a dozen emails back and forth about me doing work and trying to find that opportunity. He actually watched my film that I made in Pakistan and was really complimentary about that. And so, yeah, there was actually a potential opportunity which didn't end up going anywhere, but I feel like this has been an email relationship over sort of
could be
5 or 6 years.
And that has led to the Daily Talk show.
Exactly.
With Josh and Tommy.
Maybe that's what it is.
And Seth Godin, our first guest.
Yeah.
That'd be so sick.
It'd be pretty fun. I mean, so now I just need to work out how to seal the deal.
All right. Well, I'll let you go to bed.
All right. Thanks, mate. I mean, yeah, it's Sydney. We're in Sydney. It's been fun.
How long have we been going for?
Like 36 minutes.
That's nice. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, I think it's great. And just very quickly, on the weather in Sydney.
Fuck off,
no,
mate.
I'm just very quickly, muggy as fuck. I don't
it's
like
Sydney
it as much.
For you.
All right.
The further north you go, the more muggy it gets.
That's true, isn't it?
Well, yeah, work. Queensland, go to Byron, completely different weather. Fuck, we're on the weather again. Love you.
Bye.
Catch you tomorrow.